This is Ed Sicali with Athletic Strength and Power Podcasts, which have been going on for over 10 years now. We've had over 200,000 plays. You know, I have to say that probably, you know, over a quarter of them.
Probably more than that, Ed.
Yeah. We're talking, you know, 60, 70,000 of the plays have probably been the Kim Wood podcast.
From my kitchen in Clifton. And
a lot of people don't know that our rolling studio is actually in your kitchen here, which isn't
where I actually cook. And I just want to let the folks know that I've done a very poor job of actualizing my feminine self. And the only thing I can cook is instant coffee. And I cook it here in the kitchen. And sometimes I really screw it up. The phone will ring, and I've got a probably a world record for burning up these little Revere tea kettle type things. And then they come out, and they're like red hot, and I got to throw them away because the coffee tastes really bad after that. But no, we're here in my kitchen in Clifton, and I got weights. I lift weights here, and the Shih Tzus eat here, and I don't eat here much.
Yeah, I mean, but a lot of people would be surprised to think that you're drinking, you know, instant Maxwell's.
Yeah, that's good. I get a high-level organic cream to go with it at the health food store, and it's good.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Coach Kim Wood, welcome to the podcast. Welcome back. It's great to have you back. For the people that don't know, and we'll put some pictures of some of the kitchen areas. Some of it's not ready for.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
We won't show all the Cheerios and dog food.
Kitchen's had a bad winter.
Yeah, but anyway, there's enough weights in this kitchen to start a small Division III program.
A small personal training studio.
Kim Wood, welcome back to our podcast.
Ed,
I was going to say you're also not only are you a regular on my podcast, but you're kind of a regular time to time with the Ken Brew Show here in town on the WLW 50,000 watts.
Not as many times as you think, but
Rocky Boyman.
Rocky. I'm a semi-regular in Rocky, and who is doing a great job. And it couldn't happen to a nicer guy. He's a real pro, and he's a big timer now, but he's going to get credit for it soon.
Yeah, Coach. I think it was just last week that you were up in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
I was born in Minneapolis. I moved out of there when I was about 4 months old.
Who would have thought? But anyway, Minneapolis, and you were at one of the featured guys.
Speakers, and they had a guy, Luke Carlson. He's got a company called Discover Strength, mm-hmm. and they have like personal training facilities, and they are lighting it up there. And they always have a big deal strength clinic, where they bring in people from all over the world. They had a guy from England who's really good, a guy named Fisher. Mm-hmm. But they got a bunch of us there people that, you know, the last of the Mohicans as far as the old Nautilus thing, and who knew Arthur Jones. And it was a gathering of legends. It was Jim Flanagan and L. Darden and Roger Schwab and me. And we put on a great show and had a great time. Met a lot of pretty special people.
Cool. So, Al Darden, one of your guys.
One of my guys, yeah. No, it was fun. It was fun for me to get there and meet a lot of old friends and like I say, meet some new people.
Well, what, you know, you were up there. What were some of the takeaways that you got from
Takeaway? Being, yeah, takeaway? Yeah. That I can talk about?
Yeah.
Oh, well, it was just, I just think that what you have is this. I think that interaction with people is important. I think you... when you meet people and you spend time with people, especially people that you like, and then, like I say, you're introduced to special people and get to know new people, I think that's what it's all about. And don't forget, when it comes to strength training, that's not something that you can do with everybody. My daughter's a filmmaker and has this mini micro cinema downtown in Cincinnati, and I'm there and I interact with all these, these film and arty types, and it's hard for me to deal with soft people. But it's very special for me to deal with people that know training and can talk about the big topics from experience that are coaches or trainers. And it's really fun for me because it doesn't happen very often. It's a funny thing, and that is has weight training has matured it isn't as big a thing, even though it's big, much bigger than it ever was when I was coming up and when we were active in it. And now it's a different kind of thing. And it was something, of course, I was involved in with the Bengals and with Nautilus and with Hammer Strength. And, you know, it was stuff we were talking about, you know, all day and half the night, every day. And for me to get a chance to talk to people about it, that's a big thing and a good thing. And yeah, Luke Carlson, he's a major player in what's going to happen in fitness and the fitness business. And I was very impressed, and I'm not impressed easily.
Oh, that's very true. Yeah,
to say the least. Yeah, yeah. Right. Okay. Go ahead, Ed. What are you going to say?
No. Well, I was going to say. By the way, I wanted to let you know that I've gone vinyl. You know.
Really. But,
Yeah, with the vinyl. I got the record player.
With the records. Excuse me. Oh, okay, yeah.
Vinyl,
yeah.
Pure vinyl. Yeah, 180 grams. You know, I get the big records in there.
Well, I got maybe only about 9 or 10,000 albums in the house, but they're in another room. I know what you mean. I mean, I was hooked a long time ago.
Yeah, let's talk about your clinics. You know, you've had some clinics every summer the last six years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And obviously that had a pretty good impact, I think, on the strength training world. You know, it brought to the forefront the head and the neck and how, you know, that needs to be a focus. And how do you feel about, you know?
Well, I'm just saying right off, Ed, I'm not going to have the clinic anymore. I don't know if we'll ever have it. I put it on the shelf. We had clinics, and I thought they were very good clinics. And we had people come from all over the country. I mean, it wasn't that we didn't have enough people. We had lots of people. And I think that, and we had a lot of the top football people and the people that prepare young men and old men to play football. And I thought it went very, very well. But and I think it attended to the need that the brain is far more vulnerable in contact sports than anybody ever thought. And of course, my take on preparing athletes as a strength coach is that if there's a need, you make it a priority. And Mike Gittleson helped me. Mike was Bo Schembechler's strength coach at the University of Michigan for 30 years, and now he's he invents neck machines, and the ones he's come up with for Rogers Athletic they're the best thing going, man. But he's a researcher, and we brought in top strength coaches, and you know, from pro teams and from the top colleges. And I found that the people came to the clinics, they were people that intellectually embraced what we were doing. Some of them were involved directly in the game and could influence the game, and they did. Now, all of a sudden, you got with Gale Sayers and the Clark fella from San Francisco, Dwight Clark, and all of a sudden, a lot of big names and many of your Pro Football Hall of Fame names, you know, Frank Gifford, Chuck Bednar, you go down the line, and they all had cognitive problems from playing football.
Yeah, but I mean,
but we're talking about is that it's happening with younger and younger people, and like I say, the levels of football, I'm pissed it isn't enough, and the problem is that I was getting so pissed because I pretty much put the clinic together myself that I was afraid that like I say, I'm a fighter, and I'm still fighting it, and I'm still dealing with it, but I'm going to deal with it in a different way, because what was happening was that the response was not enough. We more than scratched the surface. We got people thinking. But I'm working on some other things, and the approach that we took, like I say, I thought it was successful, but it wasn't going to, but I was not going to spend my last years becoming a crusader.
All right, let me cut in. Hey, what do you have to say to the people that say, hey, we're training these guys, we're training the neck, we're training the traps, we're training the muscles of the head, and we're giving it our best.
What I'm saying to them is, well, you're on the beam, research as much as you can.
Wait a minute now. It's a game of contact. That head is right there in the heart of all the hits. What do you want to do, take the helmet off? You can take the face mask off, and that'll change the blunt hits and change the way the damage to the, you know, the shake of the head and all that kind of stuff. But that face mask gives you a whole big old feeling of courage.
I think that that's true. I think this, Ed, I think what you have to do is this. One of the big things of a strength coach is preparing people to play. certainly working with them to become better players. But right up there is to protect them. Think that the protection of the athletes so they survive the game and don't end up with bad brains, I think that is worthy of radically changing the design of the program. And again, some have done it, but mm-hmm. not many.
Well, you know, we've had the leisure at Athletic Strength and Power. We've hit the road. We've seen it at Auburn. We've seen it at. Let's take a look at it from this angle. You know, and I think you're underselling what the effect that your clinics and the message that you've shot out there is. And I think you've short-sold yourself on this, is the fact that you have gotten your message out there, and it is getting taken. They're taking heed, and I think things are doing. You know,
we've been to
Michigan State. We've seen how they've done it at Michigan State, West Virginia, and Ohio State. And that's just a few of the programs that we've seen, and they are, you know, they're really coaching it like it's the bench press or the squats.
There are people that are doing a good job. I'm still going to have clinic, and I still probably will deal with these issues, but in a very minor way. And that is what I'm finding was is that the great amount of people that came to the clinic were people that were my friends, my supporters, who were really into strength training. Okay, and we were dealing with the bad things about football to such a degree that we didn't get to deal with some of the good things and some of the creative things about strength training. So what I'm going to do is this. I'm putting the concussion clinic on the shelf, but I'm going to have a clinic this summer. It's going to be in the 21st, 22nd of July in Cincinnati. It's only the place we're going to have it. It can only handle about 50 people. There will be information that you'll be able to post. We're getting that together now. Okay, it's not going to be expensive or anything. And that is the way we're doing it. My son's website called the Iron League. It might be that you have to be an actual member of the Iron League to come.
What is this new clinic?
I don't know. We got a strength clinic. Strength clinic number one.
Football strength clinic, or what's it going to be called?
The football strength clinic presents strength clinic number one. But I'm saying to you is that we're going to have a clinic, and it's going to be a very, very elemental thing that's going to deal with the basic things. I was trained by a man named Arthur Jones, who was a radical figure in the origins of strength training being accepted by the culture with his Nautilus company. And I've never had a chance. I started doing the deal up in Minnesota. I had a chance a little bit to talk about his take because on a lot of the stuff, I'm the only one that knows. And you know, as an old man, my background is my dad and my mom. They were from Boston people. And one of the things that you do is when you get older, you become a town father, and that is that when you become mature and your life is, you know, you're getting in the red zone, okay, what you do is that you you accept the responsibility, you accept the stewardship for the people that are in your village or in your town, and what you do is that you do things that help them and help them, you become a servant to them in a way.
Now, what about with John Wood and his what's his thing called? Let's talk a little bit about that.
Well, my son is a internet impresario. He has a number of internet websites. They are all focused on education and the history of strength training. It's really good stuff. He makes a lot of money. He has functional hand strength, which is all information about developing the hand and the grip. He sells books and gizmos and things tied in equipment tied to that. But the key thing is information. He has Old Time Strongman, which goes deeply into the history and the origins of every phase of strength training. And then, like I say, he's come up with a new site called the Iron League, okay, which is interesting because he went to the University of Michigan and then stayed and went to graduate school in internet business as opposed to going to law school, because the internet was so important relative to the future of really everything. And as a consequence, he's going to school with guys that already had MDs and they were already lawyers, and because the business world is something that's happening. But he's very sharp in that. But what we have is I was able to amass And he has also done, and that is, I have a tremendous collection, probably the finest collection of strength training materials, certainly strength training equipment. You know, you know that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have what amounts to a museum. And
stuff
and,
like
but
from
and
the
there's nobody
1900s.
In the world that has what I have, but like I say, that's but when it comes to the paper and the stuff, we have a tremendous collection, and he's figured out a way to put it on the internet, okay, and so that it's in effect a library site. I also post you know, big heavyweight stories, almost book-like features, and we have all the backlog of films. You know, for instance, he's just put up all of Mike Gittleson's films, okay, and tapes, and Brooks Kubik's videotapes, and Dennis Rogers, who is one of the greatest strongmen, his tapes of Slim the Hammerman, and you know, and again, we have there's things it's a resource like none that anybody has ever seen.
That's interesting.
And
yeah.
The point is that, you know, financially he's doing very well. And like I say, we wanted to have a thing because we both.
Yeah, so he's involved with this thing you're going to have this summer.
He's going to sponsor. He's in effect sponsoring it, only that we want, again, it's if you know stuff, like I say, and you get old, you know, before I leave here, okay, I've never been the kind of person that didn't share just about everything I have. And that's the spirit of what we're talking about.
Okay, so
let's go to the origins. Like I say, understand strength training with the drugs and all the phony stuff. And the point is what I'm interested in doing is sharing that knowledge. And like I say, the only problem gets to be is that and I thought we were successful with the concussion clinic, but there was a whole bunch of stuff I couldn't fit in to talk about. Mm-hmm. And now we're going to step back and we're going to go basic. And like I say, we're going to go Paul Brown.
Okay, so let's review. We got this is coming up in
July.
In July. You've changed the date.
There, I changed it for Dr. Ben Oldham of Lexington, Kentucky, one of my best friends. Everything is geared to his schedule because he's one of the head SEC refs mm-hmm. in the football season, and he has a busy schedule, but that's the weekend we're going to do it, so he can be there.
So the July
22nd, 23rd, it's in the 21st, 23rd. You know, like I say, okay. we're just formulating.
And
it's going to be in Cincinnati.
It's going to be Cincinnati in a new location.
New location. My daughter is a filmmaker, and she has an experimental film theater down on Main Street, an area that they're literally trying to turn into San Francisco. And she shows films and other things there, and there's music there.
So it's a theater. Is there like popcorn? Actually,
there is free popcorn there, but it'll still be catered by Bob the Chicken Man uh-huh. and Skyline. And, you know, this is the people that know that we go first class as far as food. A number of the guys from Minnesota are coming down. Luke and his boys, but the point mm-hmm. is this, this is going to be a key thing. It's not a thing. It's going to be a thing that there's only going to be 50 slots.
Who should come to this?
What?
Who should come to this clinic?
It's a meeting of the tribes, and I'm talking to the people that I know, the people that are the top personal trainers, the top exercise physiologists, the top coaches, and those are the people that are going to come.
Plenty of parking down there?
What?
Plenty of parking down there?
Yeah, that's a problem, but it's not a problem because there's night spots. It's a night spot area, and there's plenty of bars. And I mean, it's an interesting place. It's in the Over the Rhine, which they're spending hundreds of millions of dollars to redo by music hall and and where this whole streetcar it goes and and there's like I say there's lots and lots of night spots and I mean it's a unique thing, but the point is
when you get done
we're
going
to start small we're going to start small with the thing, and I only like to if I'm going to go into something in great depth. Mm-hmm. I don't like to do it in big groups. So it's going to start out being a small group, and we're going to see to what degree we can deal with these issues, and what degree we can create a really creative experience, and by bringing in a tremendous amount of experience and talent, and that is mm-hmm. the top people in strength training ever. I mean, the responsible people, okay, the people that care. And we're going to try to work out the bugs the first years before we get into a bigger venue. I went to Wisconsin to play football. When I was young, all I cared about was football, and then later football and weights. And I was fortunate, or maybe not fortunate, but it's the only thing I ever did my whole adult life. And quite frankly, it's the only thing I know that I really know doing.
Coach, tell us a little bit about the collection of strength training equipment that you have, some of the key pieces that really make your collection.
What you have is I was fortunate enough to have funds and money. Mm-hmm. Okay, to come up with, I have, you know, what was interesting is some people collected the magazines and the books, but nobody collected the heavyweight equipment. And yeah. I have six or eight of Warren Lincoln Travis's big barbells. I have Eugene Sandow's kettlebells. I have the unliftable inch dumbbell. I have probably the strongest man who's ever lived, Apollon. I have one of his dumbbells. And, you know, I have J.C. Heiss's Olympic set that was made for him by a guy named Andy Jackson.
Wow.
And we have a bunch of stuff that we've just gotten from Russia. And I have machines that that are very effective, but they could never be manufactured for product liability reasons. And, you know, I have what amounts to a museum. In fact... You know, part of it even bleeds over into here in the kitchen where I like to train, and like I say, when you get older, and I'm not old, but the point is when you get old, Ed, I only have so many sets and reps.
Yeah,
so I like to do it with collectors.
Quality.
Stuff. We're talking about stuff that there's some people that would, you know, they'd give you $50 just to touch it.
Yeah, what about that hammer H-squat? That hammer H-squat.
That was the thing. Of course, we owned the company, but I built a building, a pretty fancy building, nicer than most people's houses in my backyard, just to house that squat. But I also have Sullivan's chair, probably the only one that's ever purchased. And then I have the greatest collection of Milo Globe barbells ever. And Schmidt machines. I have things that are people seen pictures, but they've never seen them. And I have them, and you know, I use them. So do my dogs.
You're blessed. I mean,
I'm trying to say is that. But my thing is, one of the things that we want to do with this that we're kicking around relative to this clinic this summer is that I'm thinking of having some kind of a party. When I was down there in Lexington. I never watched the Bengals football practice because I knew Ben and I knew the guy that was the dean at Georgetown College. Mm-hmm. So, I'd go into Lexington all the time, spent a lot of time there, go to the movies and everything. But I would watch the Bengals practice because they had it set up where they had what I call the mint julep crowd. They had all these folks with like straw hats on and, you know, and seersucker suits and everything, all the race, you know, the Keeneland gang. They would come over and watch the pros practice. Well, I'd sit up and, you know, here I am with a flannel shirt on and my baggy Zubaz pants, and I'm drinking coffee with, you know, with the horsey set. Okay, and but the point is, what it gave me an idea that I might, if I can somehow cage up the Shih Tzus, that we may have, you know, one of the afternoons of the clinic, we may transfer to my house here in Clifton, and I may get a small circus tent. And then we would bring out a lot of the antique equipment and show people how they were used and give them a chance to use it. I mean, the point is this.
I'm talking about.
I'm talking about we're not kidding around. We're going to have a clinic, and just like the concussion clinics were best. And understand, I'm going to talk about the concussion thing. Football was America's game. And like I say, the point is, to me, football, that every young man could gain from playing it.
Back off from being bitter for just a minute, Coach, and tell me about those yellow, whatever those things were when I came in.
Well, they're weights. They're what they are. You mean those things we're going to take a picture of?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were a thing that Gittleson first came up with it, and what they were was that they're a track, and they're an indoor weight that you throw, and we put some handles on it, and we use them as kind of it's kind of a different thing. It's kind of a combination between a kettlebell. Okay, and it's kind of variation and a block weight, okay? And you'll have to see me do it. The point is that but you can do more kettlebell things with you're actually doing dumbbell things with what amounts to a kettlebell, but it's different than a kettlebell and has a much different feel.
Mm-hmm. You've got some of the Russian kettlebells too, don't you?
Oh, I got, yeah, we just got a whole load of stuff that nobody in this country ever has seen. Huh. From old time antique Russian things, and I'm just saying to you is,
and you're saying that
I'm there saying
might
is this,
be
I,
a
if
chance.
I, if you,
there
if
might
you
be
live,
a chance
if you
come
live
to the
in
clinic.
A museum. You live in a museum, and unfortunately, I live here. And I mean, it's good that I live here, but it is a museum. And the point is, and I have stuff that is awesome. You know, and I'm not going to let just anybody come here, but I'm going to let my people that are really interested in strength training, okay, I want to create
are gonna
a
get
vehicle
a taste
where
of
they
the
can come and see some of this stuff, because I'm not hoarding it just for me. I mean, there are people that have collectors that do that, but at the same time is I'm not just going to let anybody in here. And the point is that we're going back to the elements, Ed, to the basic things.
It's not a public museum.
It's, no, but it's a private museum.
It's a private
but I'm of the personality and character type that I'm very, very willing to share with my friends. Mm-hmm. And one of the worst things that happened with a concussion clinic that I had a lot of close friends, we're going 30, 40 people that would come, got people that I would only see once a year, and I'm sitting there dealing with the weight of what's destroying football, mm-hmm. and I didn't have any time to spend with my people.
Yeah.
There's only so much of me left. When you get older, you realize that. And I still, there's no limits. And there's no, I haven't seen the horizon. I haven't seen, I'm not fearful of something gaining on me. Okay. But the point is this. Anything I do, I want it to count. I want it to be special.
But anyway, Coach, it's been real. We've learned that you're phasing out your concussion.
I'm not. I'm phasing out that approach. Okay. Or let's just put it this way: it's going to be on the shelf for at least a year. And like I say, I think
the other phase of the your museum pieces and people being able to see that and seeing the
well, like I
the
say,
history.
There's history to it. I'm perfectly willing to share. I'm not willing to share with the people that have destroyed strength training and people that really don't care about football. My email, and people are welcome to email me, is k38wood@att.net. And that was what Football Strength is. We're still going to have the website of Football Strength. We're going to actually make it more vital than it has been and spend more time with it than we have mm-hmm. of getting information out there. But the point is, and like I say, we're going to have another thing running with the concussion ideas. They're going to have parallel courses in a week.
Okay, so what we'll do at Athletic Strength and Power, we're going to wait on some of the addresses and some of the further information.
You'll
that's
get everything.
It's going to be released.
As understand, we're cooking this thing up as in the next 3 or 4 days, and you'll be one of the first to know.
We want to have exclusive rights to knowing about this clinic.
Right now, you got it.
It's coming up. Coming up in July 21st, 22nd, Cincinnati, Ohio. It's more downtown. It's shifting. It's address from where it was up there in Northside last year and the last several years. And it will be an air-conditioned theater.
You know, if we could take a stutter step here, we could do some things in the strength training and create a thing. They used to have Chautauquas and things that, you know, learned people and scholars would get together in a casual atmosphere. But deal with the big issues and in a meaningful way, and get a chance to network and meet new people. And and the point is I like that. That's a little bit what I saw, and I saw a lot of it up in Minnesota there. And but like I say, I got a different take on things, and I'm talking about different information in different contexts. Like I say, because I think that not only does football need stewards, but weight training needs stewards. You know, when you get something that's almost consumed by drug, little kids or anybody gets involved and brings to it just the will to the optimism of wanting to improve, and they're taken advantage of and exploited. That pisses me off. So you're looking at one pissed off mofo here. And but the point is that
sounds like
quite frankly, I don't care, but I want to channel that energy. Instead of being depressed and like I say, instead of jumping in a fire, I want to get in. I want to get into positive territory and affect some change.
Let's hope you don't have
to do that. You know, like I say, I'm rolling up my sleeves. I'm really rolling. And hey, my sleeves were already rolled up.
Let's hope you don't
double.
Let's hope you don't have a concealed carry license.
Hell,
yeah, we want
you
to relax.
Hey, Eddie, both you and I both know that. If you got what's going on, and like I think I do, the bullets bounce off you, man.
Ed Sicali, Kim Wood, Athletic Strength and Power Podcast. We've completed another one here in the beautiful rolling hills of Cincinnati area.
And I drink coffee and I dance to this.
And let me say, this is one of
music.
Your home is in one of the most well-kept secrets of Cincinnati, all of Cincinnati. I mean, you can live in those fancy suburbs, or you can have that after you've seen, if you've seen this street, this abode.
Hey, nobody else has a jukebox in the kitchen on this street. Nobody else has, where they don't lift weights.
No, I
lift weights in my front yard, in my backyard. I got about 10 gyms in this
house.
You can
flip an egg.
Not every house.
You can turn an egg or make a Maxwell House. I'm still surprised at the instant coffee gig.
Like I say, I just never mastered the actualizing my feminine side.
Yeah, I thought maybe you'd have a little bit bigger deal than the instant coffee thing there.
That's it, man.
But you know, while you're making the instant coffee, you could do a couple of sets and reps with some of these assorted dumbbells that you have here.
The key to training is to integrate it into your life.
It's integrated.
And I couldn't get much more
integrated.
It's integrated
right here, Cincinnati, Ohio.
Well, Eddie, I just want to tell you this, man. It's your birthday yesterday.
Yeah.
And you have been a friend for, how long have you been? 35 years?
Yes, 35 years.
And I try to say is, I love you, man, but I love you in the right way.
Thank you,
I'm proud.
Let's clarify that.
And we talked about our mutual friend, Teddy, who's working for Zebra Technology.
Teddy Lambertidis.
Toast to the NFL. And I can't tell you, I thought, I'm just telling both you guys, that you guys have turned out really damn good. And I felt a little bit guilty about both of you because I was instrumental in kind of your intellectual upbringing. And I was kind of figuring, boy, I hope these guys make it because I don't want to.
You left us high and dry, man.
I can't tell you. My guilt structures can't handle this.
You left us high and dry, man.
But I'm proud as hell of you, and I'm proud as hell as Teddy, and what your outfit, the ASAP people have done, and I'm
when you went rogue,
Rocky, and
when you went rogue, man, me and Teddy, we had to fend for ourselves, and then.
That's the way it goes, baby. You know, you get if you. It's hard
to
follow
the
wild goose, you know. It's hard to follow that wild goose, man.
At Vernon Manor, you know, and then up there at the Hammer Strength Clinic over there on
Gilbert
Avenue, man.
We've been through. I just put it this way.
That was a beautiful thing, man.
When I spoke in Minnesota, and I've been talking to some of the guys that called and stuff, and they said, God, you've done an interesting. You got to understand, I didn't touch on a lot of the stuff that I did, you know, and we got Nautilus started.
You had Linda Murray.
I couldn't tell anybody, but people say, you got to write a book. And I'm just laughing because I could be, and the point is it would take, you know, it would take Hemingway or Norman Mailer or somebody to write the book. Shakespeare, I mean, it would take somebody, you know, I couldn't do it. I mean, I can write pretty good, but I can't write that good. But even if I could write it, if I could capture all the goddamn things I've done, nobody would believe it.
No.
Nobody would believe it.
I see some of your stuff on Facebook, and it's like, oh, you got to be kidding me, man.
Yeah, but I'm stuck with the fact that I'm not.
I mean, Chuck Berry. Come on, tell
the the great Chuck Berry story. Well, I can't tell a real great story, but I can say this: that we're waiting at the. I'm in L.A. and I'd go and visit Max Montoya and Anthony Munoz when they lived out there. And I would try to catch up day because I've got two full-time jobs, one with the Bengals and one with Nautilus. And I'd always fly TWA, which would fly from the L.A. airport to St. Louis to Cincinnati. Well, I'd go out there, and it would always be a midnight flight, and I'd get into Cincinnati about 7 in the morning, and I could get a whole workday in, okay, sleep on the plane. Well, I'm sitting there, and it's a small crowd, maybe about 10, 15, 25 people, okay? And one of the crowd waiting to get on the flight to St. Louis, it's Chuck Berry. And he's there with his daughter and some other lady he's traveling with, okay? And because he never brought bands. He would say he'd send people their records. And when he performed, he just said, hey, learn all my songs and I'll come and sing. And that's how he really made a lot of money, okay? So he didn't have to carry, 10 guys with him every place, okay? So anyway, everybody's like tired. Because it's we're getting on a plane in L.A. at midnight, okay, and it's Chuck Berry, okay? And Chuck Berry, everybody's looking at Chuck Berry, but you're cool. You don't like, hey, look at that guy. No, it's like, it's Chuck, and everybody knows there's Chuck, okay? Well, the stewardess, the lady comes up, the attendant, whatever, she comes up and she says, okay, we're loading the flight to St. Louis. Okay. Well, everybody's sitting there, but we know that Chuck Berry's Chuck. Chuck knows that we know he's Chuck. His first 10 steps, he does the duck walk. He does the Chuck Berry duck walk. We're dying, and I end up on a jumbo jet. Okay, I mean, there's like 250 seats on this thing, and right in front of me, I know from L.A. to St. Louis is Chuck Berry, and I didn't. We both slept, but I'm just trying to say is that.
And that's just one of the stories that.
The other story I couldn't tell. Huh? Yeah. But let's get some pictures.
Oh yeah, let's get some pictures.
This better work, Ed.
This better.